We're so glad you tuned in to Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. And if you tuned in last time, we were focusing in on creation, and we talked about our memories of when we first heard about God creating everything. And most of us had a memory, and some of us didn't. Some of us couldn't remember that far back. But we are going to continue on in Genesis 1, and then through 2, 4, and... Who's reading?
We're going to have Taylor read. I was going to say, Sandy, it's because we were created a long time ago.
Well, in my case, that's true. Not necessarily Tara. Tara could be my daughter. She is my daughter.
I am your daughter. Go ahead, Taylor.
Okay, Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse between the waters to separate water from water." So God made the expanse and separated the waters under the expanse from the water above it. And it was so. God called the expanse sky, and there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear." And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds." And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark seasons and the days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth." And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the water teem with the living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky." So God created the great creatures of the sea and everything living and moving thing with which the water teems, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number, and fill the water in the seas, and let the birds increase on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals, each according to its kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that moved along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue them. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of this whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food, and to all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds of the air, and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it. I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Genesis 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created.
I love it. It's so good. So I want to break it down, and thank you for reading, and may God honor the telling, the reading of his word. Thanks, Taylor. Mm-hmm. Let's break it down pretty simply. If I were to take Genesis 1 through 2, 4, day 1 is earth, space, and time. Day 2 would be the separations, and so it's that it would be what we would call the atmosphere. Day 3 is the dry land and plants. Day 4 is when he does the sun, moon, and stars, which is to separate seasons, days, and years. Day 5 is when he does the sea animals and the birds of the air. And then day 6 is when he does the beasts, the animals on the earth, and then man. Day 7, he rested. So that's kind of like a simple breakdown so that we can see what's in the creation account. And being able to see how it builds. Some really great art. I found an image that is just incredible. It's like I wish you could see it on the radio. Mm-hmm. And what they did is they just have a photo, which they're gorgeous color pictures, but they summed it up in that days 1 through 4 is about the preparation of God's environment, the creation of the environment. It's the preparation. The date 5 and 6 is about the population of the earth. So you have the preparation of the planet, then you have the population of the planet, and then the seventh day represents us being in communion to have relationship, the rest, the enjoying of it. And so it's just another way of breaking it down so that we could better understand the creation order. So when you hear creation story, I want to know from you, what comes to mind? Do you have something in particular that comes to mind? We've looked at like a memory, but when you hear creation, what's the first thing that comes to your mind?
I always think about, all the animals and creatures he's made. You know, you'll go to a different country or a different place and you'll see things you've never seen before. And it's like, how many are there? You know, there's a lot out there that we don't know about.
Yeah, and Adam named them all.
I know, that also blows my mind.
How about you guys? When you think of creation?
I just simply think of plants because I see them all the time, and so it's my first thought of creation.
Yeah. Mm.
They're beautiful too, yeah.
I think of, like the plants and the animals and things that, you know, there's always a difference between like man-made things and God-made things. And so obviously this is all God-breathed and God-created, but it's down to the very basic stuff of even just the sun, the moon, and the stars. That's always what I think of because I always think of the change between the sun and then when it gets darker, you have the moon and then the stars come out. That's like one of my favorite things to watch is when a sunset happens and then the stars come out. That's
sunset, awesome. Sunrise, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anna?
I got the chance to visit the Creation Museum, and so like that just immediately pops up into my mind. And just the part of like God creating man, I just thought that was like so beautifully represented at that museum, so that's what pops up in my mind first.
Okay. For me, I immediately go to the image of the tree. I don't know why, but when I think of creation, I automatically see the tree of life. Because I guess for me that symbolizes God giving life or whatever. I ask this question because in the ancient world, culturally, they had a belief system that something did not have a function or a purpose until it had a name. And is something that I read, I think it was in the Cultural Background Study Bible or something. And so if something did not have a name, it didn't have a function, it was not considered something that had value. Mm-hmm. And I think that this is quite interesting in that if you think through the creation account, God names everything. And then where it does not have name when it comes to the birds of the air and the fish of the sea and the animals, he has Adam name them. He names male and female, and then he, in that, gives them their purpose and their function. And with each aspect of the creation, if you go through and think on this, it gives what is created, and then it kind of tells what its purpose is. So the separation of light and dark, and it's that, you know, we have day and night. He's creating time of day and night. And then when he goes into the separation of the sky and the seas, it's scripture, some translations say it's to create, it's the horizon occurs, or
well, the word that comes to my mind is horizon, because that's the one I remembered the most. And then when he goes into separating the land and the sky, he shows how the plants are going to be born, and they're going to be seed-bearing, and then they're, you know, and so he not only creates it, he labels it, and he gives its function. Mm-hmm. And so I just think that it's kind of fun how what culturally early I think it was the Mesopotamians is where that mindset came from, that if it doesn't have a name, it doesn't have a function. Mm-hmm. And so the criticalness of having the name, and then you go into Hebrew tradition, and how in Hebrew tradition to have a name represented your nature or your character. Mm-hmm. And then if you go through scripture, and how in scripture when God interacts with somebody, so you take Abram, he becomes Abraham. You take Sarai, she becomes Sarah. And you start going through the people and how he gives them a new name, Jacob to Israel, and allowing them, you know, Simon to Peter. Mm-hmm. You see how that reveals the character, because it's going to show the function, the purpose that mm-hmm. one has. Mm-hmm. And here that's revealed right in creation account. It just blows my mind. It's like God is so intentional and so purposeful in every aspect. And so what people can gloss over as, you know, oh, you know, it's just God speaking things into existence. It's not it. It's not just. It's he's actually revealing much to us about intentionality of our purpose, and with name and function and order and structure, mm-hmm. like revealing things of that nature to us. And so I thought that was kind of beautiful. Any thoughts in regards to what I just said in that? Was that something you guys have studied or knew at school yet or not? I don't know.
I remember hearing about you said about the names gives it purpose. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember hearing that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, good. The word bara is the word create. And when that word is used, it means that God is creating. It's the Hebrew word bara. And that's the revelation of him showing how it's given it a purpose and a function. So, you know, Moses is the one that's believed to have written the Genesis account. And that always surprises me. I don't know why it surprises me. I was like, why? Oh, I don't know why, but for some reason, every time I read it, I think, really, Moses? You know, it just kind of, but he's the one that they believe. And what would you guys say is the key verse? You just name what you think would be important.
I would say creating the people in his own image.
Okay.
So okay. We know that, yeah.
Right.
We're patterned after him.
Anybody else have something?
The beginning of verse 31. It says God saw all that he made and it was very good.
Okay, so
kind of reiterating on what you said.
Okay, so showing that it's good. Anybody else have something that stood out to them?
I think the seventh day too, he's finished that mm-hmm. task.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah.
I put down in the beginning, and I guess it's probably because I am so focused with being the teacher for orality on what represents like showing the narrative. And this is God's story. This is his story to us to help us to know how our story connects with him and being in relationship. And often when we hear in the beginning, we know that that means that it's a part of a big story, a story. And it's really cool. Most people don't think of the Bible, but we have to recognize the Bible is a book. It says in the beginning, and so it starts us off. And then it ends in Revelation. If you go into the last chapter of Revelation and the last paragraph of the book of Revelation, it says this is the completion of. And so what we have to recognize, this is a book, but it's a true story. It's not a fiction. It's not mythology. It's not a novel. It is a true story. And so I wanted to make sure that we get that down as we go forward, because, you know, people need to be aware that that's the case. My phone's ringing, sorry. Okay, so why do you think the creation account is important? Just thinking through all the stuffs you've learned through the years, why do you think it's important?
I mean, I've been taught
a long time ago that the beginning of things, kind of what you were saying, are very important for the whole purpose, and kind of showing just the importance of even the end of a story or just of anything. And so the beginning of knowing what God started and what he originally wanted, I think you see a lot of his heart at the very beginning of his story. And without that, I mean, I'd have lots of questions of like, where do we come from? And like, God supplied that as an answer.
It's good. That's good. I was having a conversation with someone just the other day, only a week ago. And the person was sharing with me her theology of creation. And her theology of creation came from cartoons and movies. And this wasn't in jest. This wasn't, you know, this person sincerely was coming to me and asking me some questions. And she, from watching Ice Age, had come to the conclusion that the stinky animals were the ones that went extinct because they stunk. And I've seen one or two of the Ice Age, but she's sharing with me how she came to different conclusions about her her theory of theology of creation. And she was sharing with me from various movies and cartoons that she has seen in her lifetime. And we had just gone through the creation account for 2 weeks. And at this point, I think that they had heard it 10 times. And it was undoing some untruths that she had established, because her only form of knowledge came from what she had seen on TV or in the movies, and not from books. And so my heart was gripped, because she sincerely wanted to know. This was a person that was hungry for God. This was a person who was hungry to know, but she didn't. And so that's why we need to study creation. God bless.